Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spellwork, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Well, anyways, welcome. Welcome, one and all. It is spooky season.
So welcome. Thank God.
Thank God. I've been waiting for this all damn year. The whole year has been spooky season. Let's not play.
Right. Yeah. Like, this whole year has been pretty spooky for sure.
Before we jump into today's episode, let's go over some current events, shall we? I know the people love to hear our take on our ghetto government. So
all your news sources right here, ladies and gents.
Right? Who needs CNN?
Who?
CNN who? I don't know her. Like, all you need, the only news source you need is right here on this damn podcast. These two grown-ass women talking shit on the government. First of all, TikTok is still live in action. So it was supposed to disappear off the App Store today. That did not happen because Walmart came through.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Walmart and Oracle. I don't really know what Oracle is. Walmart and Oracle came together on some type of agreement, like a shared agreement, to make it so that, like, it's still available. And I think that's just, like, so, say what you want about TikTok, people, but I feel like that app has really made a lot of people more creative during quarantine, and it's, like, seriously helped people laugh. Like, I spent 2 hours last night just laughing after having not the best day at fucking TikToks. How are you gonna tell me that's not good for my mental health?
Right. I was literally thinking the same thing. So I heard that the situation of TikTok was coming back, whether or not it was going to be banned. And I did hear it was supposed to be off the app by now, off the App Store. And I didn't know that Walmart had a play and it's still working, but I was on it this morning like, okay, bitch.
Yeah. It was going to be taken off the App Store for US download. And that meant that eventually we weren't going to be able to use the app at all because we wouldn't have access to software updates.
Right.
So
honestly, you know, we all know the big Cheeto just likes to talk a big talk. He just tries to scare people. But so I don't know if it is going to disappear, but I do agree that it has helped with my mental health. And I think, like, yeah, it just makes me happy. It makes me laugh. And also I think it's, like, created different communities, and with, like, every social platform, there's been negativity on it, but I think there have been some really nice communities created. And also I feel like it bridged the gap between millennials and Gen Z, and we're, like, a lot cooler with each other now than before.
I agree.
Because for the longest time, I mean, I refused to even download it because I was like, that is not a millennial app. I will not download it. I'm not gonna get sucked into that. it's some teeny bopper thing. I feel like a lot of us felt like that. And then we downloaded it and we were like, shit, Gen Z was bright. This is nice. This is good. I like it.
Yeah, it's perfect for people who are still missing Vine. I reference Vine like 3 times a day, and most of the time nobody knows what I'm talking about, which kills me because I thought everybody had Vine, but Steven didn't have it when he was younger. His dad like took his away when he was like 16. I don't really think
I didn't have Vine.
What the fuck?
No, I really only heard about Vine like the month before it got taken down, and I downloaded it and literally had it for like a month, and then it got, and then what, something happened to it and it was gone. I don't know what happened, but since I wasn't into it that much yet, like I was like, oh, I don't really care, because I had only downloaded it for like a month.
It was heartbreaking. I think a lot of my favorite phrases that I use to this day are from like Vine 8 years ago. Like, that's, I'm trying to think, hold on, let me think of one.
Wow, it was around for that long?
It was around for a long time. I feel like I only got into it 2 years after it came out, because, you know, like where we lived, there were definitely some areas where you didn't get the best cell phone service. So like I would have a lot of issues, like even watching Vines, because my service was so bad. But then
I had the worst service when I came over to your house. Yes. Especially in the bedroom. It was like I got okay-ish service in the living room, but then we'd go into your bedroom and it was gone.
Yeah, it was gone. Like you'd have to literally do everything off of Wi-Fi because there was no service in, I think they just got like LTE out there like 3 years ago. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, there's that. That is, there's that. Let's see, what else happened? Oh, Ruth Ginsburg, rest in peace. That was unexpected and very sad. I've also been seeing some stuff though from people who, like, so far what I've seen on social media is like people who are like, ripped to a legend, like ripped to this amazing woman. And then there's other people who are like, let's not forget that she said kneeling during the anthem was stupid, and she called Black Lives Matter stupid, and she called like a ton of stuff like pointless and useless. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on.
Whoa.
What?
I don't know how to feel right now.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. Like, there were just like countless things that were saying like that she was being glorified for the wrong reasons. And I don't know, I don't want to say anything about somebody who literally just died like 2 days ago, but like I think a lot of it was like recorded. Like some of the things she had said were not in favor of like minorities at all.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's very interesting, because I don't know. I mean, most of us know the major things that she did in her lifetime, you know, in favor of women, but we also know from previous parts of history that even during civil rights movements and people standing up for those civil liberties, intersectionality hasn't always been a thing. And even people who have fought and stood up and made really great changes that affects a lot of us, it wasn't always 100% inclusive. But I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, she called it dumb and disrespectful, but she did say like she wouldn't lock someone up for doing it, just like burning the flag or something, like don't do it, but like I'm not gonna put you in jail for doing it. Yeah. I don't know, I'm not gonna like pretend that I knew a ton about her or like everything that she was doing in the government. However, like I heard her name enough to know that she was doing something pivotal, and like she was a very important part of the Supreme Court. There have also been like multiple posts I've seen of people reposting this on Facebook saying that, like, all the different instances that the government said that if anything were to happen to someone on the Supreme Court during Trump's presidency, they would not elect a new official until after he was gone. Mm-hmm. But they're already looking at electing someone else. And it's like over 20 accounts of people being like, it wouldn't be a good idea. Let's not do that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Even, his name is Lindsey Graham. He on record was recorded saying at the very beginning of Donald Trump's presidency, he said verbatim something like, you can use my words against me, but if there if there's ever a spot that needs to be filled towards the end of the presidency, we should not be filling it until the new president is in office. And he's a Republican. And he says in the beginning, the very first sentence out of his mouth is, you are allowed to use my own words against me in the future. First of all, I think that's a very interesting statement. And I don't know if he said that because, I mean, it was 2016. I don't know if Trump was elected yet or if he had just been elected. And I don't know if he knew he was going to have to, like, pledge his allegiance to the devil Cheeto later. So is that why he said that? Like, why would anybody on record, why would that be the first sentence that comes out of your mouth?
Maybe. I mean, if it was in 2016, you know, the race had to be going on. So he knew that it was either going to be Hillary or it was going to be Trump. So he was like, either fucking way, if anything happens to somebody while either one of these people is in the office, we should not jump to their replacement. They were literally making headlines about her replacement 2 hours after she died. Like, that was insane. Yeah. I thought that was so disrespectful and gross. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But I mean, what the hell do I know?
We've heard a little bit, at least I've heard a little bit about who everybody, I don't know if it's speculation or if there was some kind of announcement about the woman that everybody thinks Trump would replace her with. And it's a woman who she's a super conservative Republican, of course, and she wants to defund Planned Parenthood, and she believes to an extent that, like, husbands should own their wives and have, like, control over them to an extent. And it's pretty bad. She sounds pretty fucking awful.
Speaking of Planned Parenthood, I saw something the other day and it was like, you guys should stock up on Plan B before the end of the year because it has a 4-year shelf life. And all just because of that, like, because of who they might replace Ruth with. And that scares me. And the fact is, like, if abortion is made illegal everywhere, I don't think that would ever happen, but you never know what could happen in 2020. Yeah. The abortion rates aren't going to go down. The amount of safe abortions are going to go down because people are literally going to be doing this stuff, like, black market, like, people are going to end up dying. Like, women are going to end up dying, and it's all going to be because of unsafe conditions, unsterile conditions. You know, like, I don't know if you ever watched Shameless, but there's, like, this episode where, for listeners who watched Shameless, they'll know Frank, the dad, gets a liver transplant, but it's not real. They basically harvest some of his organs and tell him that they gave him a new liver. That kind of shit could easily happen to a woman trying to get an abortion. They could easily tell her, yeah, we're gonna, like, abortion, whatever. And
I mean, that's kind of happening right now with
the hysterectomies.
With women who are being contained in ICE, and they're being told, oh, you need emergency surgery. And they're like, okay. And then they wake up and the doctor is saying, oh, we had to take out your whole uterus, you had a hysterectomy. I mean,
for what though? What are they, why is that even happening?
I don't know. My brain only goes to, like, literal horror film stuff and, like, some, like, crazy scientist doctors who, like, want to do experiments. I don't know. Like, or it's just, like, people who believe that they are an elitist race, white supremacists, and they believe that these women shouldn't be reproducing.
That was Stevens and my guest last night. We were talking about it, and he was like, it's probably because they just, like, don't want these women in ICE to ever, like, have the opportunity to reproduce. Like, they think they're just, like, getting rid of the problem while it's ahead. I'm like, do you know how many immigrants there are in the world, people who aren't American? Like, that's not giving 50, 100, 300 women hysterectomies is not going to.
Right. That's, so, you know, Desjardins.
That's that place in Stanton. Yep.
That's, that kind of stuff happened there.
That place is haunted as fuck.
For sure. For sure. And, yeah, there is some shit going on. That is interesting, though. I didn't even think about how, so, like, when I'm thinking, I didn't even think about Plan B being off the table. Like, because when I'm worried of, when I'm worried and I hear Trump and politicians saying, like, defund Planned Parenthood, I mean, I thought the majority of us knew the services of Planned Parenthood. And I think there are people who legitimately think that abortions are the only thing that happened there. And that's, like, 3% of the, of, like, what they do. I mean, it's a woman's doctor. Like, and women, women who are fighting to defund, I mean, anybody who's fighting to defund it, I just don't get it, because, like, that's, like, a very small percentage. Abortions is a very small percentage of what they do there. And, you know, that just makes me, like, I mean, that makes me nervous for myself. That makes me worried for women all over this country. That makes me worried for, like, my future lineage of women, if I have a future lineage of women. Like, just, I mean, it's kind of a scary time. And I've seen a lot of posts that's like, isn't it so sad that we are terrified of losing, like, basic human rights for women all over one. We were relying on one 87-year-old woman who was still working an 80-hour work week and battling cancer, knowing that she was saving all of those things. Like, it was lying on the shoulders of one woman.
Because something is much bigger wrong with our government if, like, this person dies and we're immediately all just like, well, we're all fucked. Like, that's the bigger problem. Like, why are we all screwed because of one person being gone? Like, okay, well, more people, like, who didn't think like Trump does should have been on, like, in charge of stuff and not just this one woman who's, like, who was a century year old pretty much.
Yeah, and why is it, so these officials that are put into the Supreme Court that are making huge decisions that definitely affect us, why don't we get to vote on those people?
Because we are the lowly peasants.
Right. Like, if these people, I mean, one woman passing and half, over half of America being fearful right now for being a woman, and we're not even going to have any say in her replacement. So, what the fuck?
It freaks me out. It's so bad, dude. I just...
Are there any women now? Now that she's gone, are there any women?
Condoleezza Rice is still in there, right? She's... Shit, why can't I never remember?
I'm pretty sure it's all still, like, white. Mostly, I mean, I know it's mostly white men.
I don't know. I never knew everything there was to know in social studies about, like, who's on the legislative, who's on the judicial, like, blah, blah, blah. All I knew was the president was the executive branch, and that was, like, it. And this, I feel like the past, since 2016, I've definitely educated myself more. But, like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes election time, I always have to look up, like, a few weeks before who else is going to be on the ballot for all of those little, like, boxes. That's another thing. If this is the first year that you are eligible to vote, please make sure that you know all of the different people running and not just, like, Biden or Trump or the other third party, like Joanna Jorgensen or whatever her name is, please know that you're voting for like a whole list of people, and you can't just go in there and pick random shit, because those people have a shit ton to do with the way things are run, just as much as whoever ends up being the president of the United States. So
yeah, please don't Christmas tree it, because Kanye West is going to be on the list.
So. I don't think he's going to be on it anymore.
Oh, he's not.
No. That was all, like, it came out that that was fake. It was just a ploy to pull votes away from Biden. I don't understand why they thought that was actually going to do anything. Like, that just pissed people off and gave Twitter something else to meme.
Yeah, that's... Hey, I saw something else on... It was something circulating Facebook. And it was about Trump, and it was saying, like, you can't ask sports players to keep protesting off the field when you elected a, what are those TV shows called? Kim Kardashian, elected a reality TV star as president. Like, we have a reality TV star running places, and it shows.
Yeah, the fuck? What the hell? Like, it's so embarrassing. But now that you've gotten your fill of current events, I think that's all that really happened this week.
Pretty much.
Possibly. Oh, here's another thing. I thought I had COVID. I still might. We're not sure.
Yeah, and it's like not easy for you to get a test anymore, which is bullshit.
Yeah, so now that we're talking about inaccessible healthcare with Planned Parenthood, so yesterday I woke up.
You need to unlock your iPad first.
Okay, girl, calm down. Yesterday I woke up and I felt so like fatigued. I had a runny nose. I was coughing up a little bit of like, sorry, this is gross, but like kind of wetness, but like it wasn't one of those like really nasty, choky, phlegmy coughs. It was just like a kind of like you got a cough and there's something in there.
Yeah.
And I took like Mucinex, and eventually towards the end of the day, I felt better. Well, like I said on last week's episode, I was in my college best friend's wedding. So I, of course, you know, I look back yesterday. Yesterday would have marked 14 days from when I was at her bridal shower, which was the first time in months that I had been around a mass amount of people. However, everybody was like wearing masks there, or most everybody was. So I texted her and I'm like, dude, like, pretty sure that I'm feeling sick. And like, you know, are you okay? Is anyone else feeling sick? And she was like, well, Sawyer, who was her husband, like Sawyer's feeling and like Nick was one of the roommates and he's not feeling very good, but I'm pretty sure it's just like seasonal allergies. I was looking at CVS drive-through testing. I was looking at Walgreens drive-through testing. I was looking at urgent care, MedExpress, because Steven had to go to an urgent care earlier this year to get tested and he was able to walk in. Now, yeah. The earliest test that I could have gotten was like Tuesday afternoon at like 6, and I would have had to have a note from my primary care physician to even get a test. And I'm like, dude, by that time I could be like half back to being normal. I was like, what in the hell? And there's no way that I was going to get an appointment with my physician on the weekend. They're not even open. I gave up. I was just like, I'm just going to stay home and hope that I'm not sick.
You know how... That makes me so pissed because, first of all, it throws a whole wrench in it. It's time sensitive. Like, you need to know as soon as possible. And to make you have a doctor's note first obviously means you have to carve out time to go to a doctor during normal business hours, and you work normal business hours. And then there are people who don't have health insurance, and essentially you're going to the doctor just to get a note. Like, you're going to show up and say, hey, I'm feeling this, 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 and this. Can I get a COVID test? They're going to be like, yep, sure. Here's the note. So like, if you don't have a copay, usually a doctor's office visit without insurance is going to run you $100 to $200. So you're paying $100 to $200 just to get that doctor's note. Like, it's literally just causing more time and taking more money out of our pockets. And then I don't know if the COVID tests are free anymore. They used to be. I don't know if they still are.
I think they're free at CVS. I don't know about Walgreens, but I mean, for all that time, you might as well just try and get a test at your doctor's office because you're going to be paying them $100 anyways. Yeah. You may as well. It's just so messed up. And what sucks is I feel like this year, you know, before you start feeling sick, before you experience possible symptoms, understanding the next steps to take is so important, because when you don't make yourself aware of what to do, you're kind of accepting that mindset of it'll never happen to me. I don't need to worry about it. And like, no one is immune from this illness. Yeah. And I thought that I fully understood the steps that I should take if I was feeling sick. But I was laying in bed yesterday just feeling like there's nowhere I can go. I gotta just stay home. And like, I mean, today I feel fine. So
that's good.
I'm pretty sure that it was just like, you know, it's gone in Virginia from being 80 degrees every day to below 60 in the morning. And our house stays around 64 now because it's not hot outside. So I probably got congested because of the weather change, which I do that every, I feel like all of us have allergies with the way the weather changes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, damn, dude, like I was scared. Like I was absolutely, we don't know, in another 2 weeks, I might start to feel bad again. And I'm going to look back and be like, oh, I was at a wedding 2 weeks ago. Fuck mm-hmm. yeah, I feel bad. Like,
yeah,
it just stressed me out. It was not fun.
It's just so stressful that... I mean, I can only take a gander at why testing is harder to come by right now.
Donald Trump.
Right. And Denver, we turned our whole football stadium, or not the football stadium, the Pepsi Center, which is a huge, like, that's where huge artists come to play, and it holds, I don't even know. Like, it definitely has to hold 100,000 people or more. It's huge. What do they, are there, I don't think any sports play at the Pepsi Center. I don't know. I don't go to sports and I don't go to concerts. So, but it's just like, it's a huge stadium and they turned that into a huge COVID testing center. And you would just stay, you would just be in your car. And there was a huge line wrapping the whole parking lot like a maze. And like it used to be no questions asked. You show up in your car and you get that test and they don't give a shit why you're there, what symptoms you had, when you thought you were exposed, like literally nothing. If you wanted one, you could get one. And you got your results in like 2 days. And it was like that for a while. And we were one of the first states to do the drive-up testing centers. And that has totally changed now. Like, I don't know if they're still doing that. I don't think they are. And I've heard that now there's just like, yeah, they're at like random CVS's and like smaller locations and they have less supplies available. And I'm pretty sure I also heard that it's not just no questions asked now. Like mm-hmm. they are going to tell you yes, you can, or no, you can't, based off of if you're elderly, if you have a pre-existing condition, or like you already have to be like really, really sick.
Yeah, I had to take a questionnaire. I took like 3 or 4 questionnaires, and every single one of them, it was like if you didn't have a fever or if you didn't work in like an essential worker position, it was like, no, like you don't get to have one. You just gotta, your best guess is just to stay home. And if you feel chest pain, go to the emergency room. Like that was every single fucking one. And I was getting like, I was getting mad because everyone was like,
what you do?
Huh?
My mom taught me this as a little kid and like you can't abuse it. But when you go to the doctor, sometimes as a woman, and this is kind of related to other things, but we get brushed off a lot at the doctors for pain. And they're like, oh, it's just your PMS or whatever, you know? And it's kind of like, my mom taught me, like, sometimes, you know, if your pain level is a 4, you might need to tell the doctor it's a 6 or a 7. Like, because sometimes, like, if it's something's really bothering you and they're not digging in deep enough to look what something was, and she just had problems her whole life with being misdiagnosed or a doctor be like, no, your test results are fine. And she didn't find out until later on in life that she had certain, that she had thyroid problems. And like, she found that stuff out in her 40s. And maybe with COVID testing, like, maybe you do just mark, yeah, I had a fever yesterday, and you get a test. Maybe you just... Not that I'm like telling anybody to do this, but if you really want to test, maybe just, yeah, I did have a fever. I don't know if I have one today, but I definitely had one yesterday. Yeah.
It's just fucked up because you can check the list for every symptom and skip one. And it's like, oh, you didn't have chest pain. You didn't have a fever, but you had everything else. We don't need a test. Yeah. Like, what about the numbers? Don't you need to know citywide if there's more people having COVID? Like, imagine how many people aren't getting listed in the however many cases in Richmond, Virginia today because they can't get a fucking test.
It's tons. Our numbers are so skewed right now because of Trump not wanting to look bad to other countries. Even though we already look bad, other countries literally think we're a shithole.
Yep.
We are a shithole.
Yep.
So, but he's just trying to protect his reputation. It's all about him. Every interview, he's just like, why is nobody giving me credit? I'm the first person to remember. And like, just everything that comes out of his mouth is, but why not me? How come I don't look good? How come this isn't benefiting
me? He's the one that said that we needed to be doing way less testing. Like, okay. So then now we're dealing with those repercussions when common people like myself can't get a same day fucking test anymore. Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, literally an incoherent blabbering buffoon is running this place and he can't make comprehensive sentences. I mean, and when he interviewed with, who was that? I think it was like Axion. Is that his name? And he was telling that reporter, no, we need to slow down the testing. We don't need more. And the reporter was like, how do you know that? And he said, read the books, read the manuals. And
what books? What like, manuals?
What manuals? What the fuck are you talking about? And like, you're a fucking liar.
What are you talking about? Read the books. Read the manuals.
You don't read books. You don't read manuals. You don't read.
Period.
You don't read anything. Okay, we all know that your staff has to print stuff off for you in giant print and put extra fucking graphs on there because you don't like to read and you just want to see pictures. It's already known.
Is that true? Picture-
Yeah, no, he wants to see pictures. So like whenever he's given paperwork at press briefings, it's like giant font because he can't read it. And it's mostly pictures because he doesn't want to read. He just wants to look at pictures and he wants to hold up a graph and look smart and be like, look, the graph though, you know, like that's.
Yeah. Okay, stupid idiot.
And the graphs are all freaking fake. They're all fake numbers and. Oh, someone called out his press secretary, Kaylee McEnany, on numbers quite recently, and they were like, listen, the United States is 4% of the world population or something like that, but it's a very like 4 or 5% of the world's population or 10%, I don't know, but he said, but we have 24% of the global deaths. Yeah, and they were just asking how, after he got done saying, or she got done saying how Donald Trump was so successful, they're like, how is that successful when we have like 4 or 5% of the world's population, but we have 24 or 25% of the deaths? And she's just like, oh, no, here, these are the numbers. These are the percentages. And like, they're fake. They're not real. They're using fake doctored numbers to please the Cheeto sitting on the throne because he doesn't want to see those numbers. So they just throw, whose job is it to literally just be like, to throw fake numbers together? Because that's what they're doing right now. I want to know whose job that is. What are their qualifications? Like,
Anyway, let's move on to what we
want to talk about, manifestation.
We want to talk today mainly about manifestation and the reason that we are personally having issues with it, as well as just like in general. I don't know. My ideas towards manifestation are like really changing because of this podcast I've been listening to. But I mean, basically, like the whole reason I wanted to talk about it is because I just feel like I'm having issues with detachment. And that's like really hard to come to terms with when you feel like you know everything you need to know about the basics of law of attraction. You're like, yeah, like in order to get what you want, you have to just not put like all of your hopes into it. Like you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and you got to just like let go and like come what may. And I feel like the more you say that, the less you remember it, because you think your subconscious is like, I mean, your brain is like 95% of your brain functioning is in your subconscious, and people don't realize that. But like your subconscious is like, oh yeah, I already know all that. I don't need to utilize it anymore. And then you try to manifest something and it does not come true. And you're just like, the fuck did I do wrong? What did
I? Yeah. I'm struggling with detachment, I guess, but in a different sense, where I'm manifesting things that like I want, but I'm also such a creature of habit and I like stability and safety that going out into those, like accepting the opportunities that I've manifested for myself is scary. To the point where I'm like, what if this is not the right thing for me? Like, maybe this isn't the right opportunity. Should I take it? Should I not? And I'm like questioning what I worked so hard to get, because I'm scared of new, even though I'm so open to change, but change like still really scares me. And so I'm having problems detaching from things that I'm comfortable with to accept the manifestation that I've been working for. And sometimes my idea of manifestation has also changed over the past couple of months. And sometimes I also think like it's hard to know the difference, at least for me, because I believe in manifestation, but I also believe in sometimes like things that haven't happened, like when I haven't gotten what I was manifesting, like later down the road, looking back at that and being like, thank God that I didn't because I actually like maybe didn't want that. And I think like my higher self was looking after me or whoever, or it didn't come to be because it wasn't supposed to be. And I didn't see that down the road or at the time. And so sometimes it's hard for me to decide, like, did I not get this because I have things I need to work on? Did I not get this because it wasn't meant to be? I just like don't know that yet. It's hard for me to just figure out why it happened or why it didn't happen. If it's like, if you're working so hard to manifest something and it's not happening, it's kind of hard to tell why sometimes.
That reminds me of like yesterday I was listening to the podcast I mentioned, and she was talking about that exact thing. And she was saying like soul manifestations are different from ego manifestations, because when you manifest with your ego, you're doing it from a place of like, if I can do this, I will be able to show others what I'm capable of. If I can manifest this house, if I can manifest this job. If your reasoning behind wanting those manifestations is ego driven, like you want to show off, or you want like, you want something that's just not in alignment with like your soul's purpose, like you're really just probably not going to get it. Whereas like if you're manifesting from your soul, those things come like way, way more easy to you, because they deal more with your purpose, your calling, like your true need for happiness as a being, and not just like material items. And like, I don't, that was like a wake-up call for me, because I've always just felt like I was very good, like I am very good at manifesting physical things. Like, take for instance, Taylor and I have been like trying for months to find like some back patio furniture for the back porch, and then all of a sudden her mom is like, hey, here's the back patio furniture, you want it, it's for free. Like, there's that. But we weren't putting like all of our energy into it. It was kind of just like, oh, that'd be really cool if we could have that, or like a fire pit. And then today on Facebook Marketplace, a free fire pit pops up. And just like that kind of stuff is like what makes me truly believe in manifesting. And I don't feel like it should be that way, because that's very materialistic, like grounded in materialism, and doesn't have to really do with like true happiness. And that's hard. It's a hard like realization, like you said, just like understanding like you're not getting it because you're in your own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I feel like there's someone who I follow on YouTube, and I can't remember her channel off the top of my head, but it's someone who talks about manifestation, and she was talking about how if you have a lot of unresolved trauma, you know, things like you can like block yourself, and you can put all this effort into something, and it could even be your something that would make your soul happy, but like if you have unresolved trauma, it can block that, because maybe you're vibrating at a lower frequency because you're depressed. And not that you can't manifest with depression, I do it, but depending on where your mental state is at, like,
yeah, like I mean, you can definitely manifest with depression, but I feel like a good example of that would be like if you had unresolved trauma from a really like abusive relationship, and you were trying to manifest like a really healthy one, but you were still hanging on to all of that and like not doing the healing work, and you weren't truly aware of what you wanted or what you deserved, you're going to just keep ending up, not to say that like, oh my God, you keep ending up in these bad relationships because you don't understand manifesting, not at all, but like you find yourself in the same karmic lessons over and over until you learn them.
Right. Yeah.
So that all ties, I guess, like back in together. And there was something else that she was mentioning in the podcast. The podcast is actually called Spiritual Shit by Aaliyah Lovely. And she is just like, I don't know, like lately, like all of her episodes, like when she posts them, it's everything I need to hear, like in that moment. But she had also said something else about manifesting yesterday when I was listening. And it was just like, oh, so she's been trying to do this thing called the hands up approach. And it's like a reverse thing from asking exactly for what you want, and just like putting your hands up and being like, what is the universe? What are you willing to give me? Like, what do you have for me? Because that way you are open to anything, and you attract all these different opportunities, and you're not settling. Like, for all you know, the thing you're trying to manifest, just like you said, like you might be manifesting something you don't truly need, that's not actually going to make you happy.
Yeah. I think that's a really good thing to try and to do if you feel stuck. Like, if you don't know what to do, where to go, but you want to do something, you want to go somewhere, like you want to be happy, but like you just like don't even know where to start, I feel like that's like a great place to start.
Yeah, because it just like it leaves so much room to interpretation, and I feel like it really improves your relationship to the source, whether your source is like God or the universe or like an unnamed like just higher entity or higher power. Sometimes, you know, especially when you listen and you read to all this different spiritual shit, this podcast included, you feel like you've got like a really great handle on everything otherworldly, everything like spiritual. And then you have to sit back and realize, like examine your relationship with source the same way you would with like a friend, like sit down and reflect on what you actually feel towards a person. You should do the same thing with the universe. Like, And that's another thing. I feel like I've gotten into the habit of thinking like not working against the universe, but like only using it for my personal gain and not realizing that like you can't, I can't just like take from the universe. Like I have to be willing, and I don't really understand fully what that means either. Like I don't know what it means to give to the universe.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a physical thing. Like, should I be donating to charities? Should I be giving to those in need? Like, is that considered giving to the universe? Like,
should you set up an altar? Maybe yeah. It's like, maybe it's like physical representations.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
it's like being kind and like acts of kindness.
Yeah. I thought about
that too, that most of the time, I mean, my most communication with my source is like a lot of the times when I want something, which is like, or when I want something, or like when I need help, like when I'm not feeling great mentally and when I'm sad, and it's when I need. But I, even though, and I, same thing, like I don't know what that answer is, but I know that taking doesn't work. Like I do believe in balance and give and take and as above and so below and just like equilibrium of things. To what extent, like I don't know, that's still kind of a mystery to me, but I do believe in a level of balance.
Yeah, and it's like hard to learn exactly which side of the scale you're currently on, but I feel like us sitting here realizing this, maybe we're taking like too much, you know. And then when you're taking too much, you definitely notice when it stops flowing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you definitely,
and you know, sometimes I feel like giving, I have felt like I've given back and with appreciation and with like gratitude and humbling, like that so far, at least I feel like I have given back when I'm almost letting the universe know how grateful I am for whatever it was I was given, or even for the stuff that I haven't manifested. So like, well, and I probably did, like, I'm grateful for where I am right now. It's like being grateful for the whole journey, because even when you're manifesting and you're aware of all these gifts from the universe, like we get to one place and like as human beings we're always trying to get to the next place and like level up, whether that's career, relationships, like your home, your bank account, like whatever it is, like, you know, we always want to move up, but we don't want to be stagnant. But there was a point in time in my life where I wanted the life that I have right now, and that's all I wanted. Like a couple, four years ago, I would have been so completely satisfied with what I have right now. And obviously right now, like I'm working towards more. So I think sometimes like giving back to the universe is showing how appreciative you are to have what the universe has already given you at the same time.
I totally agree with that. That was another like point. Like I feel like that's probably a point in anything you listen to about manifestation, but it's such a good point. Like think about 5 years ago, like what 5 years ago, like fuck, how old were we? 20. We were 20 5 years ago. What would 20-year-old like Brooke and Rose think if you would have, you know, given us a glimpse into this life? Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you guys have like full-time jobs. Like you don't live paycheck to paycheck. Oh my God. Like, and you forget, like you just forget about all of that. And that's the thing is like, if you knew at age 20, everything you'd have at age 25, you'd be willing to wait. You would be willing to sit there. You wouldn't be like, is it coming? I got to check again. Is it here yet? Because you know it's coming. You just, it's not here yet.
And you wouldn't stress about it. So no. 5 years ago, if I could have glimpsed into a mirror and seen my life right now, I would have chilled the fuck out a little. I think sure, life was stressful four or five years ago. But if I knew that literally in 5 years, in the glimpse of our lifetime. I mean, we've all seen how 6 months can pass in the blink of an eye. 5 years will come faster than we think. Sure, there were times where I was struggling 4 years ago and I was like, how the fuck am I going to get out of this? But like, just to know, if you know, you're like, well, it happens. Like, all I have to do is trust. I just have to trust myself and I have to trust my source, whatever that is, and that I'm on the right path and that I'm making the right decisions to get to be what I just saw. And I don't know, I kind of have started like thinking of life as a book, and I've started talking to my higher self more than I have in the past. Like when I was reaching out for guidance, I was reaching out to like my spirit guides and my ancestors. But recently I've been trying to reach out to my higher self more and get, cause like she's probably pretty bomb ass and and she knows more than I do. And I started thinking that way because I've been talking with my therapist and doing guided meditations about like comforting your inner child and like revisiting times when I was a kid that like traumatized me. And I'm like imagining the whole scene and I'm imagining me now comforting that little girl back then. And it's like kind of the same thing. So if I can travel back in time in my mind and go comfort 10-year-old Rose, how do I know that 30-year-old Rose isn't comforting me now? Because I kind of think of life as like a book and we're just like reading it at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And how do I know that, you know, because there's like all kinds of dimensions and who even knows? I don't know. That's a lot. But how do I know that my higher self isn't comforting and guiding me right now from a different part of my life?
Yeah, you don't. I like that analogy. Like life is like a book and you just like, who knows like what point we're reading it. Like yeah. Literally, if someone like opened up the book of your life, they could fall anywhere from between birth when you came into the world to like going into the ground when you're like however many years old.
Yeah.
Like who knows where you'd open it up. It just happens.
We're just reading in 2020 right now. We're reading at 25. That's where we're at in the book. And I kind of like, I started thinking about my neighbors because I'm like, you know, I've always lived around people in apartments. I live around hundreds of people. And I get so caught up in the deep, 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 crazy thoughts of like, you know, sometimes I'm like, are we in a matrix? Do any of these people really exist? Because like, they don't exist to me. Like their lives literally don't exist to me. I have no idea who they are, what their lives are about, what they've been through, literally nothing. And then you start like questioning reality if you don't like watch yourself. But then I started thinking, you know, literally like I kind of think of life as like a giant bookshelf and like literally there's just like somebody else's book is sitting on the shelf next to mine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's they're going through their own story, their own shit. I have no idea what's happening in that story in this wall right behind me because I'm in my apartment and I'm on a shared wall right now. But it reminds me of that scene from Interstellar. Did you watch that movie?
A long time ago.
Where, what's his face? Well, I can't remember his name. Who's the main character? What's his real name?
Girl. I don't remember.
Shit. Okay, I'm gonna look it up right now while I'm saying this because it's gonna drive me insane.
Is it,
shit.
Isn't he in that movie with the girl from Sex and the City and like he lives with his parents?
Isn't that Matthew McConaughey?
Yep. Exactly. Okay.
So Matthew McConaughey is floating in space. It's towards the end of the movie. Spoiler, if you haven't seen, well, no, this isn't a spoiler. If you want to watch the movie and you haven't seen it, though, I might say something right now, so you might want to skip like 15 seconds. But he's like floating, trying to find this like one time because he's gone through the black hole. And he's trying to find this time in the past when his daughter was in a room with a bookshelf. And he's like floating through the fifth dimension and there's like bookshelves everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're all different times that he could interject, like, that was time, you know, because, like, I don't think we really understand time. Time is, that's a whole different thing. But seeing, like, all of those bookshelves is kind of what I imagine. And yeah, and I can just, like, end up falling down a black hole in my brain. Like, what is real? But I think that our life is like a book. And I know that's a very, like, Bob Ross analogy kind of thing, but
like a book.
Don't judge its cover. But, like, you know, I think I have enjoyed contact more with my higher self. And I've been using that with my tarot cards. And instead of asking, like, my ancestors or my spirit guides, I've tried asking my higher self to answer questions for me. And I've also been doing that with my pendulum. And that's what I've been trying recently. I don't think, have I showed you my pendulum? It's a smoky quartz.
Ooh, oh my gosh. She's fancy.
It's so pretty. I got it off Etsy a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I feel like whenever I'm using oracle cards or anything like that, especially the Work Your Light ones, I'm very much like, oh, I'm going to go with exactly what the deck says. And the deck talks a lot about spirit guides and ancestors. So I, like, never think to ask, like, future Brooke floating around out there in the spectrum somewhere. Like, I never think to ask her any of that. And, like, you know, I hope that in some dimension, maybe there's a version of me who is younger and, like, asking my subconscious now, today, in 2020 questions, and I'm answering them for her without even, like, knowing it. So
I think it's also, like, if you're just getting into this and you don't know where to start, it's a lot, and you're kind of nervous to try and find your spirit guides, or, like, you don't understand source yet, what that means to you, a great place to start is probably with your higher self, because, like, you might not trust yet your spirit guides or your ancestors. You're like, I don't know if this is real. Like, I'm still new to this. But, like, the one person you can trust is yourself. You can always trust yourself. And yourself is always going to have yourself in mind. Like, your higher self's never going to mislead you.
We would hope not. That's a
good place to start. Right. Unless you're a bitch. Unless your higher self will try to mislead you.
Or maybe your higher self, like, you know, like, what if you think about trying to manifest something and you ask your higher self for it and you get the opposite of what you wanted? Look at it as, like, the other thing wasn't meant for me. What I wanted was not meant for me. And that's another thing is, like, fucking pinballing over here. The idea of surrendering versus settling for something. I think a lot of times with manifesting, what you end up doing is settling, and the universe sees that, oh, well, she asked for one thing and she got it and she seems happy. I guess I'm just going to keep all these other amazing blessings and things away from her because she doesn't seem like she really wants it. So that's another reason I kind of want to start practicing, like, the hands up approach. Like, I don't have something on your neck.
You see that? There's a giant scratch on my neck. Did I do that?
Maybe your higher self did it. but, like, that's another reason I want to start practicing that approach, is because I just feel like lately I have been just having too much trouble, like, manifesting specific things. And one, it's because I'm too attached to the outcome. And to make myself feel better, I've kind of just been thinking about, like, think of all the other times you've tried to manifest something like this and it didn't happen, but then you looked back on it in, like, 2 weeks even, and you were just like, it's not a big deal. Like, maybe try to have that mindset now so that you're not so attached to it. But it's just, like, the more I think about the thing that I'm after and the fact that I'm not getting it, the more I'm just, like, struggling against that thought, and, like, why am I so attached to it? And then you really just have to do a personal inventory. Anytime you're not getting what you want, like, it's really embarrassing to look at why you want something sometimes. And you're just like, damn, I don't need that anyways. How superficial of me.
Yeah, I mean, if I had known about manifesting in high school, like, I probably wouldn't have manifested anything because it was all stupid bullshit that I didn't need. Like I would have tried to manifest, like, boobs or something, you know? And my higher self would be like, God damn it. This girl is just asking for the wrong shit.
Yeah, like, I don't really believe in the, I mean, I'm not even going to say I don't really, I straight up don't believe in the whole, you can manifest a different eye color. I'm like, that's not, I don't believe in that. I don't think that's real. You can manifest a different curl pattern. I'm like, that's not how that shit works.
That kind of stuff is like, your higher self wants you to love yourself as you are. Not that there's anything wrong with changing yourself. Like, you can't manifest yourself a new nose, but you sure as hell can go get a rhinoplasty. Like, you know, maybe. And if that's something that's really bogging down your mental health, like, maybe you can work with your higher self to manifest the money to go get that rhinoplasty. But, like, you can't necessarily just manifest and wake up with a different nose.
I feel like the reason, like, the one thing that I've always felt like I'm pretty good at is manifesting money and, like, manifesting new opportunities to make money. But I feel like the reason I'm good at it is, like, I've never tried to do it when I needed money, like, the very next day. Like, the chances, I feel like, of that happening for me personally would be so small because I'd be in that, like, desperate, like, lacking mindset. And, like, the people who say, like, I needed, you know, I couldn't pay my rent, and then I was about to lose my car. My car was going to get repoed, so I sat down and I manifested $25,000, and it showed up the next week. I'm like, but how does that even work? Because you need that money so badly. Like, the universe knows you need it so badly. So wouldn't that make the universe, like, take it and be like, you need it too badly. You don't trust it to give it to you. Like, it's such a mind fuck when you think about it.
It's a giant mind fuck. So most of the, when I manifest money, and this is something I'm trying to not do, is I manifest money when we need it the most. And I tend to, when I'm doing well, I tend to forget. And I'm not trying to manifest more. Like, when I'm comfortable, I might be trying to manifest a new opportunity, but I'm never usually manifesting money. But there have been two times that in the past couple of years, one of them was with COVID, where, like, we were just in a shitty situation and we needed money. And I mean, there's one time that, like, it literally came out of nowhere, like, a lot of it. And this was before I was even into manifesting, but I was like, and I didn't even know what I believed in, but I, like, prayed to the universe, like, we're kind of fucked right now. need help. And help came. And then Nathan lost his job. He was furloughed at the beginning of COVID. And there was a time when his unemployment just randomly got canceled because they were like, we need to confirm you're still unemployed. But it was going to take another, like, few months, or I mean, it took 2 months for his unemployment to kick in the first time. So after they took it away, we were like, are we not going to see money for another 2 months? Like, what's happening? And so I was, like, manifesting someone to call him for an interview. And, like, the next day he got an interview. So, like, my experience with manifesting money has been when I desperately needed it. But I don't know. But I had to be in a headspace where I had to, like, chill the fuck out because I couldn't be like, I don't know what, I don't know how I'm going to eat in 2 months. Like, which is really hard to not focus on that stuff when you're in those situations.
Yeah, you have to, I feel like your relationship with the universe and with source in situations like that, just like any relationship with anybody, it's all about trust. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, you can be in a very desperate space, but if you trust that something's gonna show up for you sooner rather than later, like, it probably is, because you're just like 100%, like, you know it's out there, you know it's coming to you. Just like 20 years old to 25 years old. Right. You know it's coming. You just don't know what it is, but you trust that you're going to be taken care of. Yeah. I feel like if I was about to get kicked out of my house tomorrow, I would have...
It would be impossible not to focus on that. Like,
I feel like I would have no trust. I'd be like, I'm going to be on the streets. Like, that would be where my trust is. Mm-hmm. And I'd be out on the streets.
Yeah. It's hard. So that's interesting though. Cause I want to work on manifesting money when I don't desperately need it. Like,
I just like do a lot of money spells and then I get random checks in the mail. I got a check in the mail from Cigna like 2 weeks ago mm-hmm. for money they owed me from like 2 years ago. And I was just like, I didn't know y'all owed me shit.
Yeah. Actually, we got a check from State Farm like 2 weeks ago and it was from a credit. We haven't had State Farm in like 3 years.
What?
And it was like a random ass credit that they never gave us. And they were like, yeah, this is just the money that was on your account 4 years ago. Here it is now.
It's probably from where they're collecting too much for people's premiums every month. And then people aren't even using it. So they have to give you that money back eventually. They could have robbed us all blind.
Yep. I didn't even know.
I hadn't had you.
Years.
I was thrilled about it. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever, we'll see. I'm currently right now trying to manifest an extra or two extra sources of income because I mean, now I have my job and I have YouTube. I get a YouTube paycheck every month, so that's nice. I would ideally like to manifest a way for us to get paid from this podcast. Like, I'd like to manifest a sponsor. And that's why I trust that it's going to happen for us, because I'm not actively like, we're not desperate for it. It's just right. Like, oh, it'd be cool if it happened. So yeah. I know it's gonna, like, right. Whether it's this year, whether it's next year, it's gonna happen. But
and like, I think like when you get little reassuring tips from the universe throughout your manifestation process, I feel like that's when I know I'm doing something right, because it's just a little tidbit from the universe that gives you enough to say, okay, I'm on the right track. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. And like, we steadily continue to grow with our subscribers in this podcast. And I feel like that's like the little tidbits that like make us excited. Not that if we quit growing that we would quit recording our podcast, but yeah. It's that little tidbit that just makes you believe it even more that it could happen. And I think that those are little like cookies from the universe. It's like, okay, come here, little bunny rabbit. Come over here. It's this way. Like,
exactly. Like, I just, speaking of that, I just went and looked. So I checked this morning because I was looking at our stats for this podcast this morning. And on Spotify, because we all know this is the only way we can see any followers, whatever. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything about any other platforms, just Spotify. But this morning on Spotify, we were at 570. And that was, well, not this morning, probably 1 p.m. That was morning for me because I woke up late. Now we're at 577. So there's that. Look.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's our little tidbit from the universe to keep doing what we're doing.
There's our little cookie from the universe for the day.
Our little cookie from the universe. I can't wait till one day we have sponsors and we're like, okay, hold on, ad break. And we say some crazy shit about like Purple Mattress or like BetterHelp.com or like all these other fucking
spots. Oh my God, that's going to be so unreal for me because... I mean, for you, you've been getting sponsors on your YouTube channel that I've seen, which is so exciting. And I watched your YouTube video of redoing your office, and the fall vibes are just incredible. It's so pretty. And you had a nice little sponsor in there, and it makes me so proud.
Oh, thank you.
But like, I've never done anything like that. Like, I've never been like, and now it's time for a break from our sponsor. I've just never done that before. So that's going to be an unreal moment for sure.
Yeah. And it's going to be so neat because I'll just be like, okay, you take it away. Because like, I listen to so many podcasts who have the little ad breaks. And some of them, like, I don't know if you listen to the Girls Network, but they've got like Glow Girl podcast and like Girls Media is in there, and then they have a political one. They have a whole network because they're so big. They have multiple podcast shows, and every single one of them on every single episode, they always have a sponsor. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, teach me the ways, bro. Like, but you know what?
We're not consistency, and we're moderately good at that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we are consistent, and I know it's coming. Like, I'm very sure of it, but we're not dependent on it. So that's why the universe is going to give it to us.
Right.
We ain't out here groveling.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Speaking of groveling. So again, this is not groveling. I was looking today, you know that website Upwork?
I have worked on Upwork, and my first client when I was virtual assistant was from Upwork, and I also got scammed on Upwork.
Oh no. Did you not get paid?
This person really had me going for like a whole week, and they were saying that they were the owner of this small art gallery in Kansas, and they wanted help with sending their patrons like thank you cards and just keeping track of invoices and like basic admin stuff, but like virtual, just stuff that I could do virtually, creating PowerPoints and meeting with the marketing team and stuff like that. And they kept scheduling like meetings and saying, yeah, we'll get you a meeting with the marketing team. And they rescheduled it like once during this week that I was working with them. And I signed a subcontractor contract, and it looked very legit. I looked up the gallery. The gallery does exist in Kansas. It's just that this person was faking being the owner. And they had me do some spreadsheets for them. And before the end of the week, they were like, oh yeah, so I'm going to have you, I'm going to send you a company card, but until that comes, I'm going to need you to go get some. First, it started off with, and I'm going to need you to do some handwritten thank you notes, thank you cards to send to patrons and clients who have purchased artwork. And I was like, okay. And they asked me to go out and get like envelopes and stamps. And I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
And I was going to handwrite letters, and the company card was coming. And and then while I was out getting the stamps, they messaged me and they were like, while you're out, also, we're going to send these clients gift cards. This whole thing's a sham. And they wanted me to get like $600 worth of Google Play gift cards. And I was like, wow, I have been eating the carrot this whole week. It seemed totally legit up until this moment. And I was embarrassed for myself. I was like, I literally got sucked into a scam. And I I'm a millennial. I should know the online scams. This was literally so legit. And then they said gift cards, and I was like, fuck you. And I went, I immediately called the art gallery, and I was like, is this person the owner? And they were like, no, never heard of them. And I let them know that someone's faking to be them. Someone's sending out contracts with your logo on it, your address. Like, I mean, like I signed official shit. And I don't know what they did with that information. And then I went off on that guy.
That's what the fake sugar daddies do online, is they try to get your trust, and then they try to get you to buy
fake sugar daddies. Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, that's what all of the ones on like Twitter, like one popped up in my DMs the other day, and sometimes I fuck with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, why can't you use PayPal? Because any real sugar daddy will just use PayPal, or like wire it directly, you know, to something. Right. Or send you a gift card.
Right.
And they want to be like, no, it's much safer this way. This is my bank account information. But it's stolen numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get. That makes me so mad. I'm so glad that you like called and told the actual gallery. That is so fucked up.
it's fucked up. And then I went, I literally blew up on that person. And then they blocked me. But
that is not what I'm doing on Upwork. I was awful.
I did have a legitimate client on Upwork though. And it is, for the most part, like, you just have to be careful. But there, like, that is a legitimate place to find work for sure.
I only put out proposals for verified, like, payers or whatever. But I was looking to see if I could get some, like, freelance copywriting work. Ooh. Because I'm a copywriter. So I was like, oh, well, like, I know all of this shit, like web design and web editing and like blog posting, all this stuff. I was like, well, I should be able to make me some extra coin if I want.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process of, like, you know how on your profile you can put like project packages that you're willing to do. Like, I don't know. Yeah. For me, it was like, I was like $50 per 500 words, 100 per 1,000, mm-hmm. like shit like that. And I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting a little feeler out in the universe, just seeing if maybe I could scrap up some extra coin maybe to start putting towards this interior decorating course that I want to pay for, which is fucking $900.
Oh, God. That's damn.
It's on that site. Ooh. It's on the CID.
You should also try Fiverr.
Fiverr?
Fiverr. It's pretty much the same as it's like Uber and Lyft. Like, it's the same. It's a big platform, just like Upwork. And it's also for independent contractors, independent consultants. Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. It's just like having your platform up and kind of like casting a wider net.
That's smart. I'll do that one too. Cause I just feel like, I don't know. I heard this thing the other day and it was like every millionaire has like 5 sources of passable income. And I was like, bitch, I only got 2. What kind of millionaire am I?
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting though, that I think you do really well at interior designing and home staging. I think that's a really good place to start. Like, I can see how it might be difficult in the beginning to get interior design clients, but I feel like it would be a lot easier to like get your foot in that world by staging houses.
Yeah. And I was looking at the CID website. So I guess, hold on. I keep forgetting we're recording and I'm just like, wait, we're just having a conversation. For anyone who doesn't personally know me or, you know, doesn't follow me on Instagram. Cause I know some of our listeners will find our Instagram and then they'll find our like individual ones and follow us, which I always love. I have many different passions and some of them come and go over the years, but I feel like the one that I've consistently had for at least like 8 years is like interior design and interior decorating. And I did not go to school for either of those things, but it's just always been so important to me. And like, I mean, Rose can tell you from experience from living with me, my style has changed so much in the past like 7 years. I used to have a bright red bedroom with like purple and gold and blue and like crazy bohemian. But anyways,
and I think that honestly, I think the certificate is the way to go. Like, I went to school for a short while for interior design, and I took like 6 interior design classes while I was there at the Art Institute. But if I wanted to do that again, I would most definitely get the certificate, because when I was going to the Art Institute, I wanted to work at like an architecture and interior design firm, and that was like the idea. And if you want to do that, I think you definitely do need to go get a 4-year degree. But if I were to do that now, I would want to do probably what you want to do. And like you want to run your own show and you don't want to go like work for somebody. Maybe like you want to do it yourself and you want to run your own thing. And I think a certificate is perfect for that.
Yeah. I really, the more research that I've done about it, about like, you know, obviously there's a difference between design and decor, and I'm not math oriented. So I don't really want to do the interior design. Cause I'm more like small details, like aesthetics and stuff like that. And everything I've read has just been like, if you really want to do interior like decorating, to get like an accredited certificate from that place that you had sent me the link, And I really, really want to. And now I'm just thinking, like, if I could, you know, make that passable money and not, cause I paid off my credit cards. I'm not using credit for, I'm just not using it unless I have to. If I could like earn that money and like put it towards that course, I would feel like I spent every bit of it like very responsibly, because that's like building towards my future.
Yeah.
And I want to do it. So that is what I'm currently manifesting money for, to be able to further my education again and possibly start my own business one day, because
that's all. If I were to do that, that's what I would do too, would be interior decorating. Because when I was taking those interior design classes, I mean, I hate math. Like, I hate doing math a lot. And there is a difference between interior decorating and interior designing. And to me, all the shit that I liked doing, the fun part is interior decorating. Like, that's the fun part. That's the part that lights up a client's eyes the most, like, is the visual impact. And you don't have to have math to do that.
Yeah, you really, I mean, you gotta, I feel like to some extent, I'm gonna have to put more work into understanding floor plans and stuff like that. But that, like, this is like what makes me super.
Mm-hmm. That comes in the certification, and there really isn't much math involved.
Yeah, so.
The only math you'll have to, is like rule of three, and like.
I love the rule of three, man. Look at that. You see the three back there?
Right? It's beautiful.
So just, yeah, for anyone listening who didn't know that, besides the podcast and YouTube channel and being a plant freak and being a witch, my passion lies in interior decorating. Okay. And I'm going to figure out how to make that dream come true. Thank you very much.
Have you taken the Myers-Briggs test? What are you?
God, I haven't taken that since like elementary school, and I feel like every time it would come out to be a therapist.
I feel like based off of what you just said, I feel like we might have a similar Myers-Briggs result, because I'm an ENFP and it's called the campaigner. And one of the biggest traits is having literally 1,000 different interests. And like the very first description of an ENFP was like, you want to be a marine biologist, an astronaut, and a fisherman, and and you're gonna do them all. And that was like the biggest thing, because like I've had 20 different I've switched my degree 1,000 different times, and everyone's like, but do you really like that? Like, you liked that other one that you left? And it was like, yeah, like I have a million different interests. I wanted to be a nurse growing up. I did want to be a marine biologist. I wanted to be an art curator. Like just 1,000 different things.
So we paused recording for a second so that we could take the Myers-Briggs test again. And I got advocate, which is INFJA/INFJT. Apparently I make up 1% of the world. What did you get?
I am 80% done with mine. There's a lot of questions.
Well, while you are answering your last,
tell me about yours.
Two pages, I'll just like
talk about. Tell me about yours and let you, and then, because you sounded like you really associated with your result.
So on here it says workplace habits, and it says that advocates have pretty tall demands when it comes to a satisfying work environment. They need to be able to express their creativity and insight, and they need to know that what they're doing has meaning. They need to know their work helps people and promotes their own personal growth. They strive to be their own boss. They do not want to be above or below anyone else, but directly interacting with people and ideas that are important to them. I think that's
for sure
pretty good. Yeah, I like that. I get that. Let's see, what's it say on here about career paths?
Oh, yeah. Those are interesting, what they tell you.
I'm telling, oh my God, it happened again. Fucking A. It says, Their desire to help connect makes careers in healthcare, especially the more holistic varieties, such as counselors, psychologists, doctors, life coaches, and spiritual guides. See, every time I fucking take it, it tells me I should be a goddamn therapist.
That is so, I mean, I could see you as a therapist. I know that's probably not what you want to do, but I think you would be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I did go to school intending to be a psychologist. I didn't end up doing it, but, like, I can kind of see why I get it. But, I mean, whatever.
Okay, I think I'm almost at the end here of mine. Ooh, you tell the podcast of the people who have your... all the people who you share. And so yours is the advocate. So last time, so I'm retaking it right now and I'm almost done. And the last time I took this, I was the campaigner, which is an ENFP. And I took this about 3 years ago. So I'm interested to see if I still get the same answer. Because since it's a personality test, it could change over your lifetime for sure. And I've always been, and I have very similar percentages as well. But I always have slightly more extroverted. I'm 53% extroverted and 47% introverted. And I've always felt like that I am extroverted to an extent, but I'm also very introverted. And a lot of people, like I was talking to my grandpa actually about these results a while ago. And I was explaining to him what the E and the N and the F and the P and the T mean. And he was like, oh, you don't seem introverted at all. You were 47% introverted. It's because I don't necessarily show people that I'm introverted, but like my brain is introverted. But then like the face I put out is extroverted, but like on the inside I'm introverted. And then let's see. So an E is for extroverted. My I is for intuitive. And my N is for nature. P is for prospecting. And then my T is for turbulent. What does that mean?
I got the T too. So why the fuck are we? You know what we should do? I feel like we should make the end of this the beginning of next week's episode.
We should. And we should start talking about this next week.
Okay, yeah. We're going to plan to continue this, like, 16 personalities quiz, whatever, into...
I'll take it, too, so that we can talk about it together next week.
Yeah, you guys should take it all. Take the test. I'll link it somewhere, wherever the description is, or somewhere on the fucking Instagram page. I'm so tired of having to explain that. I'll link it somewhere, but I feel like that would be a really fun episode, and that'd be kind of interactive for people.
That would be. And so... And what's interesting is that depending on what your position is in your workplace, if you could suggest this, I actually we use this as an icebreaker during one of our happy hours, and I coordinate the happy hours, and I brought up to like get us all to take this. And so I got the whole company to take this, and we like used stickers. This was back when we could like be in person, but we like put stickers on like what we were, and we found out like who had the same personality as us. And there were only two people in my whole office that had it was just me, and then it was my boss that had the exact same personality as me. So it's like you know, it's interesting to see. And actually the biggest group, almost everybody in my office was an INFJ or an INFP. And I remember we were talking about how most of them have like that 1% personality, and like that's most of the people in that office. And it makes you think like, okay, so do like all engineers have like this person? And they don't all, but like is the majority, you know, creative people probably tend to have a bigger percentage of this type of personality and more like methodical, mathematical, logical people have this kind of personality. It's interesting if you can do it in your workplace. Let you know who you're working with.
It really does. It's pretty damn. I mean, maybe not much about me has changed since I took it in high school. I guess I've always been I've always leaned on the spectrum of feeling more than thinking, like your head versus your heart, whatever. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm going to read through this and take notes for next week. Well, I'm glad that gave us our topic for next week. Well, okay, Rose and I are going to look at ours, but we're going to end this episode here. So you guys will just have to wait and see what we have to say.
Cliffhanger.
Again, we're going to remind you, go out and register to vote. Find out if you can vote earlier in your area. Get your mail-in ballots ready because I'm pretty sure you can start mailing those shits in. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.